Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Wednesday edition of The Drive. What a difference a day makes. I mean, yesterday... All right, today, Don Dunn, who's in with us because Dan has Troy women's basketball tonight. Don's got on shorts and a T-shirt.
Yeah.
And, Jason's got church, or he'd have a shorts on today. But, I mean, yesterday was not a day where you thought about stepping outside without the wind.
Yeah.
Yesterday, and the temperatures were so cold, but it's gorgeous today. I mean, and now I think we had that little... frigid spell, and now look for it to go back to almost Indian summer, if you will. I mean, it's going to be in the 70s for a while.
It's going to be nice.
Yeah. So enjoy it, and welcome in to the Wednesday edition of The Drive. I'm Bill. I mentioned Coach Don Dunn, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover also joining us. JC, how you doing?
I'm good. How about y'all?
Pretty good. I spent a good part of the day trying to fish leaves out of the pool, but I couldn't. They were blowing into the pool faster than I could fish them out. But, I mean, nah, it was fine. I did, and I apologize. I forgot about our media opportunity today. Yeah. There is news from, you know, multiple sports. Start of the fall signing period for all sports other than football and basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you look at it, and baseball, big signing class for the number 7 class in the country.
Man, that is like just class after class after class being stacked by Butch Thompson and his staff.
Yeah, and I think right now I would say that probably you look like, and you go, right now I would say you probably feel pretty sure that you'll lose one guy. Coleman Borthwick is is the number 18 player in the country. Went back and looked, and I think he's the third highest ranked player that we can find in the last 15 years or so.
Wow.
That Auburn would have signed. But when you get, 6'6", 255, pitcher, third baseman, first baseman, this kid that was committed to Auburn when he was 14 years old. So he committed when he was 14. He was like 85, 86 miles an hour.
Right.
Last summer, he batted in the 3-hole for Team USA and pitched a complete game in the World Series in Japan to win the World Championship, and was like 98, 99 miles an hour.
Wow.
At 16, 17 years old. So, big kid. He's the one guy you look at going –
Going to be tough.
Going to be tough to get him in. You never know. But a lot of talented guys. Again, a lot of players from the Alabama, Georgia, Florida footprint. When you look at what they've done, and John Stowers is a catcher from St. Paul's. He's been committed for a while. He's won like the power hitting display in most of these things he's been in for the past 2 or 3 years. 6 foot, 200-pound catcher. That's a left-handed bat from St. Paul's. So. Another really good class. Levi Nicoli is a shortstop athletic kid from Homewood, another in-state kid, and a few more. So, really talented class for them. Softball looks like they brought in a pretty good class as well. So, busy day for those other sports to kind of keep rolling.
Yeah, well, that's great to see those releases and see all the information about those guys. It's an off week for football, but it's a really interesting – It's an interesting week. I've heard talk, a couple of places, and DJ Durkin was asked today about the decision with Ashton Daniels, and that's a really interesting question, and it's probably even more intriguing now that you have DJ as an interim head coach, because, I mean, sure, anybody that's a head coach wants to win, but for DJ Durkin. If he wants to be the full-time head coach, you absolutely, need to win. You don't need to hold Ashton Daniels out if it costs you a game.
Well, I mean, I don't think, but here's the thing. I think you the first thing you have to do is figure out what Ashton Daniels wants to do.
Right.
If he says, look, I want to try to be back next season, then I think you have to do that. Then you just have to go win with somebody else. I think that's the whole point of him coming here this year was to go, look, I would like to redshirt if all possible.
Mm-hmm.
You're still 4-6. If you can get him back for another year and he says, hey, I want to come back and be back and play quarterback another year.
Well, I think you, after that, what you saw in Nashville, welcome that.
So this is, to me, this is all a decision on Ashton Daniels.
Yeah.
If you say, nope, you're playing, then it's going to be really hard Correct. So that's why I don't think there's any decision at all. I think if he says he wants to play, then you play him. If he says, I want to redshirt because I want to come back, then you play somebody else. So I think it's fairly easy. Now, I don't think you want to tell anybody yet.
No, there's no reason to.
But I think this is solely on Ashton Daniels. Talk to his parents, talk to his advisors, those people, and go, okay, what do we want to do as a group next season? Do you want to try to go give it a go in the NFL? Or do you want to try to come back and play? Do you want to save your red shirt and maybe go play somewhere else? I think all those things are on the table.
Well, this is our first opportunity to have you on the air since that performance by Ashton on Saturday. And wow, what a show he put on.
He did. Now we've talked about this before. I've been talking about it for years. Just the difference in going tempo changes the entire game for an offense. I thought we talked about it going all the way back to Bo Nix and Brandon Cox.
Mm-hmm. That
when you put quarterbacks in a 2-minute offense and get them to the line of scrimmage, most of the time those guys play better. They just do. And these guys now, that's what they grow up doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, first of all, they get into a rhythm. It takes some of the decision making. For the offensive line, too, it takes a lot of that anxiety away. You get under snap the ball instead of, hey, let's get to the line of scrimmage and then stand for 30 seconds. That's not easy to do. That's why we've seen a lot of false starts, in my opinion.
Right.
I thought it happened Saturday.
Yeah.
They get down the field, you get to the 2-yard line, you make substitutions, you go heavy, you do all these things, and you're standing at the line of scrimmage waiting to see what happens, and you get a false start. But I thought the plan was outstanding. Get the ball in the hands of your best players. I thought they used the middle of the field better than any Auburn team has in probably the last decade. Now, Vandy didn't know what to expect either. So now teams will know what that looks like, and they'll have some adjustment to it too. But I still thought it was outstanding. I thought Ashton Daniels stood in the pocket. Thought he threw the ball in the face of pressure. And he said, look, if I'm in trouble, I'm going to look for number 8, and I'm going to throw it up in the air and see if he can go get it. That's usually a pretty good plan, and I thought he did a good job of that. So,
And I mean, he was able to run for 89 yards
and
had a 50-something yard touchdown callback.
Yeah, Jeremiah Cobb did his thing. It was as efficient and as impressive an offensive performance against a pretty good team that I can remember probably since like 2019, 2020. Bo Nix had one. They had some games where Mississippi State, but this is a Vandy team that's still in the playoff hunt.
Right.
To find one against a team like that, you got to go back a ways. So it was really impressive. And, I mean, the flip side of that is defensively you struggle some, but everything we just said about Auburn can be said about Vandy too. When they went tempo.
Yeah, until they did, Auburn was really doing a good job.
They went tempo,
it
changed the world because you let a guy who's a backyard quarterback play backyard football, and all of a sudden, because I don't know, go back and look. In the fourth quarter in Austin, Texas, they scored 21 points against Texas.
Mm-hmm.
In the fourth quarter, doing the same thing. Into the first half, they go, hey, let's go 2-minute, try to score. Boom, 3 plays. And I think they went, hey, you know what? We probably all do that more often.
Yeah, and it resulted in like 4 touchdowns and 5 possessions.
I don't know that team loses a game if they do that all the time. Now, they're going to give up some points doing that. I don't know that you're going to stop them enough to beat them if you just let him do those things for an entire game.
No, I agree with you. I mean, because it took him slipping on a fourth down.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there was no guarantee you're going to tackle
him.
No. I mean, on fourth and, you know, 3 or less, you feel like it's almost impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's back. It's like it was with Auburn and Cam.
That's it. But and it's different. To me,
this
is a little Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
But to me, it's even more backyardish a little bit in that he's a guy that will run through a tackle. Johnny Manziel will make guys miss and do things. But his accuracy in throwing the football down the field, on the run, doing those things, it makes it really difficult.
You're right. I mean, man, Johnny would take a gamble.
There would be a bunch of big plays.
Yeah.
This is not a ton of big plays. Now, there were some the other night. But that's the pressure that happens when you have a guy like that. And so I didn't think Auburn's defense was terrible. I thought there were about four or five plays where you look up and go, man, that's 200 yards and 21 points. That's the difference in the game. Mm-hmm. But that's things that happen to you when you have a guy like that on the other side of the ball. And so no question in my mind, the addition, though, of having to do everything that you have to do as a head coach impacted Auburn's defense.
And that's what one of the things I mentioned Monday and again yesterday is I talked about it last week. DJ not being able to spend time with his guys when they come off the field, the defensive guys when they come off the field.
You get a little bit of time.
Yeah, but not what he normally has.
Yeah, because you have to be cognizant.
You
got to
pay attention to what's happening on the field.
Because you have to know, are we going to go forward on fourth down? He's also trying to help the offense in looking at Vandy's defense. So that's why he said it last week, and he's right. There may be one or two people that can do it. In this day and age, I don't think you can be the play caller and do what you have to do throughout the week to be that guy. I just don't think you can do it. Lane Kiffin still does it.
Well, actually, Clark Lee, I guess, does it.
Clark Lee's doing it now for defense, and like it ain't working very well. Right. Their offense is winning games for the most part. But I think you look and go, I just think it's so hard to be that guy in this day and age and do all the things that you have to do, not just on Saturday, but Sunday to Saturday to get this job done.
Yeah, and with that said, I mean, we're in an open week, and it's obvious. You wrote, was it yesterday, that John Cohen saying that, you know, they'll use this time, they're using this time, and they're planning on speaking to seven or eight seated head coaches.
And already have. That's the most interesting part of this now.
It used to be, no, there was never any admission that there was any contact.
Well, it's not even that. There wasn't real contact between ADs and the coach.
Right.
There was AD contact to the agent.
To their contacts. Right.
And now, because of Zoom, because of FaceTime, because of those things, you can have a 10-minute conversation with somebody any time of the day. You don't have to get on a plane. They don't have to get on a plane. You will do that when the time comes.
Right.
But right now, it's been, I would say, probably a great opportunity to go, hey, let's sit down and have a face-to-face conversation, even though you didn't have to travel, they didn't have to travel. It's not impacting them in terms of their preparation. But, yeah, to start that process and to go ahead and have some of those conversations is really interesting to me because it's way different than it was done probably up until the last two or three years.
And that's one of the reasons why you do see more teams making changes before the end of the season.
Yeah, you get a great head start. And this is not – I mean, this decision, again, it's November 12th. You might have already talked to seven or eight people. You're still not going to have a coach until early December. You're not going to name somebody next week. It's just not going to happen. Now, what this is doing is more than anything, this probably is helping you eliminate three or four or five
narrow
guys.
Your list down.
That's it. That's what you're doing now if you're John Cohen.
See, and that's funny because I've had multiple people, and I've heard other radio folks on podcasts say, go ahead, if it's going to be so-and-so, go ahead. They'll leave right now. And it's like, you're not going to do that. You're not bringing somebody who's in the middle of another season, especially one who's having a pretty good season and may have an outside shot of making the playoffs. You're not going to try to go ahead and poach them away before the season starts.
Yeah, I don't remember somebody who left before at least the regular season was over with. You might have – in the NFL, sometimes it gets announced where, hey, this coordinator's leaving after the year to do something like that. Maybe a coordinator happens, but even that doesn't happen until usually you get after the regular season.
Yeah,
you get to a bowl season.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've seen some announcements made before bowls and the new head coach or whatever.
And an interim coaches the bowl game.
Right,
and that's normal.
You ever been in that situation, Don?
Yeah, a few times.
I don't think an interim coach is coaching the rivalry game at the end of the year because the previous coach has already taken another job.
No.
That one feels way different. Hey, am I saying it couldn't happen in this crazy world we live in now? No. Hey, you never know. I John Cohen has continued to say, he told me Monday night, it's going to be already December once the regular season is over with. After the Iron Bowl, the next couple of days would be the window you would like to name a coach in. But I don't think it's not set in stone that it happens then. I think you would like to do it then. Maybe it takes a few days later. Who knows? But I think that's the ideal kind of window you look at. And somebody asked me today, how important is the early signing period? I'm like, to me, it's less important than it's ever been. The most important thing right now for them is roster retention and portal. Yep. To me, that, and I hate it. I hate it for high school kids.
Oh, yeah.
But to me, right now, in a coaching change world, the most important thing when you have a talented young roster, the most important thing right now for me would be retaining my current roster and knowing what pieces I need to get in the portal to take this roster to the next level year one.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's changed so much, like you were saying, Jason. And, yeah, but I've been in a few of those situations. That's a tough deal because not only – is the head coach gone, either fired or taking another job? Now you as an assistant, you have no clue. No guarantees he's going to take you with him. Mm-hmm. I've been in that boat. I didn't get to go a couple places. I've been the holdover. That's tough.
That's tough.
That's tough because the new guys don't trust you. The old guys hate you. And then left.
Either way, you're not in a good spot.
You can't win other than you do maintain a job.
That's
it's hard. The assistants, being an assistant all my life, a coordinator a little bit, co-coordinator, whatever. Never was a head coach, but I really feel for the assistants. And there's good coaches.
Great coaches.
They get left out, and some never coach again, and it's unfortunate. They all got families. You know,
it's the part of this business.
But the good thing now, they are well paid, and they all got contracts.
Yep.
We didn't have that.
Yeah, it's a part of this business where, to me, that's where I become most impressed.
Right.
Because those guys – would have a reason right now. They'd have a reason right
and
now
I've
to go.
I've been around guys that all they've done is been on the phone all day.
I'm sad. I'm
trying to find a job.
These guys are busting their tail to try to win games.
I was very impressed with that game. I hated it, the way it ended. But, gosh, they played with fire. They were flying around. They were excited. They were all in the game. When the offense was on the field, the defense was cheering, vice versa. And you could tell it hurt. It hurt the head man to lose that game.
Oh, yeah, no question about it.
He was in tears. Mm-hmm. You put so much in it, like Jason said, and they got the ball to the playmakers, and they, I was impressed.
All right, we're just underway here on the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, Jason Caldwell, Drew at the controls. We'd love for you to join in. Give us a call on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390. We'll get to our first break and get to the phones here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive, online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Don, Jason Caldwell, and we're going to head right to the Drive hotline, and Spectre gets us started. Hey, Spectre.
Hey, guys. I have a question about the last segment when a head coach gets fired and his assistants pay the price for it. After 8 games of absolute failure, why wouldn't the assistants, say something maybe to the AD or the president or something, say, look, we got to do something. My job's on the line. Why wouldn't Coach Nix or somebody say the offense is not being ran the way I think it should be ran?
I think if the AD went to those guys maybe and said, hey, what do you think? But they're not going to go above the head of their head coach.
No, they do that and it gets and it gets out, then they're going to have a tough job getting a job anywhere.
Yeah.
So it's really touchy. I understand what you're saying though, Spectre.
Yeah, that
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that doesn't happen. It's just that's kind of a code you live under.
Right.
You don't do that.
But like Jason said, if the AD came to you, then
but you still got to be careful.
Correct.
Then.
Right.
Correct.
I mean, it's me, you don't just keep your head down, you keep working.
It. Right. That's it.
So here you go, got that house halfway built, and now you got to just got a max.
That's right.
That's what I was talking about. It's a lot of things it affects. But you're right. I never built a house, Vector.
If I was an assistant coach, I would never set roots anywhere.
Well, no, and it's really interesting because it doesn't happen as much. It used to be people would establish roots a lot more than they do now because there's more turnover now. This is still a place where people do it more often than other spots, in my opinion. And obviously you have some guys that still have a house here that might come back, but it doesn't happen as much as it used to.
Yeah. Well, listen, I listened to the last half of your show yesterday, Bill, and who was that was on there? I can't think of his name off the top
Jake,
of my head.
It was Jake Green.
Yeah, absolutely good stuff. I mean, he hit it right on the head there with talking about the offensive and defensive difference, how what a day makes or what a week makes.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess Derek Nix is finding out what Hugh Freeze went through. I mean, it was his defense. Yeah, you're right. And his defense allowed 45 points. But, I don't know if hello, guys. I lost my train here.
Okay.
You can't talk about something until I think of it.
I don't know that, again, I don't know that DJ Durkin is feeling the brunt of what Hugh Freeze felt. That was a one-game scenario, and that defense played really well. And that wasn't Kentucky that you gave up 45 to. That's a pretty good football team. Should you have played better? Would you want to play better? Yes. I don't know that anybody's going, well, that guy can't. Well, I take that back because people do that. There's fans that go, well, he can't coach anymore because they did that in one game. There's people that do that. So I will hesitate to say that.
No, I mean, if Mercer puts up 30-plus or something, then people will wonder. I mean, but again, I think it gets back to trying to – wear multiple hats, being a coordinator.
It has no impact on what he is as a head coach because that's not – if he's the head coach down the road, who knows, he's not going to be the defensive play caller. He's already said that you don't think that can happen anymore.
Mm-hmm. Did you figure it out?
I was going to ask you this question. Getting back to what we were talking about initially, is it possible that the assistant coaches went to Freeze and said, look, we've got to make a change. Is there any way we can find that out? Is there any transparency there?
If they went to Freeze and
– yeah, and said, look, we've got to do something different here. Offense.
Usually happens is when you'll be in an offensive staff meeting and a defensive staff meeting, and they'll ask for, what do you think? Now, one guy might say, well, I think we need to go with this other kid. And the coordinator, the head coach will listen, but he's got the final say. Sometimes those discussions get heated, but normally they're kept in that room. And if you're good at your job and loyal to both sides, you're not going to let it affect you. And it's like, a family argument.
Yeah.
You just get in a good discussion. But I'm sure somebody, I hope, said we need to make a change.
Yeah, and the other part of that too is on Saturdays, one guy's still calling plays.
Right.
So you can make all the changes you want to, but if you're still going, well, we need to do this because I think this is the best thing we need to do, ultimately the guy that has the microphone in his hand talking to the quarterback is the guy that controls what you do on Saturday.
Yeah. Some people don't like what I say about the offensive line not having talent. But where does talent come from? Talent comes from execution. That's how they get the term talent. If you execute your job on the line well, you have good talent.
Looked better Saturday.
Yes, absolutely it
and,
did.
But I'll say this about talent. Talent, your scheme sometimes is the only thing that allows talent to shine. Because
there can be some that'll stifle the talent.
I'm going back to this. People screamed for years that Bo Nix needed to be replaced and be replaced by T.J. Finley. I'm talking about thousands of Auburn fans. One of those guys is maybe one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL right now. That's Bo Nix. It was scheme that did not allow him to show his talent effectively. I think we saw last Saturday they weren't doing the things that helped out this offensive line group.
When you say the scheme, now you're talking about the scheme on the offensive line.
No, I'm talking about the offensive scheme. Tempo, getting the ball the line of scrimmage, allowing them to go and knock people off the ball. They're a much better run blocking group, and they're not made to sit in third and 19 all day long and have the quarterback looking downfield and holding the ball for 3 or 4 seconds. Most offensive lines aren't either. But this group is made to get to the line of scrimmage, snap the ball, and go. And I think that's what they did for the first time.
Yes, I agree with you absolutely, because I've been screaming tempo all year long, and we never saw it. The guys would call a play, and they'd get in their positions, and then they'd stand up and look over to the sideline like meerkats.
And that's something that leads to a lot of false starts, just like Jason was talking about down on the goal line.
Yes,
the other part of that is too. I remember vividly. It was in Athens, Georgia. It was probably – so 17 was here, 18 was in Athens.
Mm-hmm.
I vividly remember Jarrett Stidham looking to the sidelines and screaming that he wanted to play.
Yep.
Because you had substituted, first of all. You substituted. Kirby Smart waits 4 or 5 seconds, jogs his guys on the field, jogs his guys off the field. They line up, and all of a sudden you've got to change your offense to match what they just did on defense. And you look up, and there's 5 seconds on the play clock. Well, it's too late. You got to call a timeout. When you go fast, you make the defense – you dictate what they do on defense instead of waiting. So, to me, this was we're going to be aggressive. We're going to be the aggressor, and we're going to make you adjust to us. And that's the first time I've seen that in a while.
Yeah, we used to call that NASCAR.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
NASCAR, whatever you want to call it. And here's the thing. When you do that – all of a sudden, you can do those things, and then you can – once in a while, you can get the line of scrimmage, and you can stop.
Yeah, you can.
Go, all right, man, okay, now you're lined up. Run this play. So you get them off kilter by doing that, because sooner or later, they got to go, well, we just got to line up. We got to get lined up, and because we're not ready. Right. And then you can show your hand a little bit too.
Good stuff, Spector.
Thank you, bud.
Thank you.
All right, let's get one more before we get to our next break. Slack's been hanging on for a while. Hey, Slack.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Slack.
Jason, I got a question for you.
All righty.
There's a kid in the state of Georgia, and he's ranked the number one kid in the country in basketball in the 2028 class. You know his name?
Not offhand. I'd have to go look in 2028. I don't know if I'm that
AJ
far ahead.
AJ Williams.
Yeah. What's his name?
A.J. Williams.
A.J. Williams. You know him?
I'd have to look up and see. And just see if I can get a refresher course on him. So
he's 6'7", 6'8", small forward, 10th grade.
Yeah, see, I'm looking at the write-ups about him. Yeah, you're right. He absolutely is number one across the board.
I do know who he is. Eagles Landing, yes. I remember where he's from, yes.
Guess who he's related. Guess who his dad is.
Who's his daddy?
Anthony Williams from Loach Fulton.
All right.
Wow.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Yep, has
6'7", small forward, 2-guard.
Yeah, he got offered over the summer by Auburn, but of course he's been offered by pretty much everybody as he's the 1-1 right now.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I think Bruce offered him late, I think.
Yep, number one player in the state, number one player in the nation, number one small forward, obviously.
Yeah, the name is, yes, and once I saw the name, I was like, okay. And then once I saw where he was from, Eagles Landing Christian has been more football for most of the past decade or so with a few guys coming out of there over the years. But, yeah, that's definitely somebody to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah, he scored 52 and 28 rebounds in a exhibition game a few nights ago.
I would bet that the competition for him, he's going to be able to dominate a bunch of folks in that league. And he's still some good players down there. It's, you know, it's not Buford Grace in some of those areas where, and I think they'll probably play some of those teams, which would be great. I'm going to look up their schedule and see, because that would be somebody I'd like to go see play.
Okay.
And see if they have some good games coming up.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, good stuff, Slack. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I saw a little note on him that he was averaging nearly that in when he was playing, I guess it was AAU or whatever, he was averaging 16 points in like 18 minutes.
They play McEachern. Let's see if they play. They play Louisville Male. Some of these are probably in tournaments. So Woodward Academy, Locust Grove, some of those things. So McEachern would probably be the one, too, because McEachern is that's Isaac Okoro, Sharif Cooper. That's McEachern, and so they usually have a bunch of good players, too.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline as we continue with the Wednesday Drive.
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, Jason Caldwell. We haven't mentioned basketball. Auburn basketball with a 93-62 win last night over Wofford. And Keyshawn Hall gets his 20. He becomes the first Auburn player. Who was the last to score 20 in his first three games?
First season for Pearl from Montgomery.
Yeah.
Shooting guard.
Yeah, who was a transfer.
Yes,
she
good.
I can see him. Was it KT?
Yes, KT Harrell.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he was the last one to go 20-20-20.
Wow.
The first three games of the season.
And then Elijah Freeman led Auburn in scoring and had his biggest game yet as a Tiger with 21. He is so talented.
You can see the athleticism just oozing from him, and he's a guy that his shot's going to continue to get better. I think it's shot selection for him, but he's a guy that can get to the rim. He can do some things, and there's so many things I like about this team. Obviously, Keyshawn Murphy has to be healthy.
Oh yes,
in my opinion, for this team to be, I think an NCAA tournament team. I think he's got to be healthy. They may be good enough to win enough games.
Yeah,
but they're really going to struggle don't get him back into on the court.
Now it's been nice. I mean, and it's been good to see Mech getting the opportunity And I mean, he can help. There's no question he can help, but I don't know that he could be the guy.
Yeah, I think like last night you saw 9 minutes. He had 7 rebounds in 9 minutes. You know, has a couple of block shots to do those things. I think Jovic is a guy that can help. I don't think he's a 5. I think he's going to be better at as a 4 if he can play him there. I really like Sebastian Williams Adams because he doesn't force anything at all. You look last night, and he has 8 points. Only had 3 rebounds. You know, played 22 minutes, but was 4-for-4.
Yeah,
didn't miss a shot. Didn't take a bunch of shots. The interesting thing about this team so far for me is that they've scored a bunch of points.
Yeah, and that they have without really and Todd feeling Pe- like
Todd Pettiford has not played well at all.
No, he is offensively really struggled.
And you know, he had 5 assists, a couple of turnovers last night, and. But to me, he's a guy that's capable of going out and scoring 25.
Yeah.
I just don't know that he's a guy that needs to be shooting 17 times a game. I think he's a creator, penetrator, get to the rim, do those things. To me, I just don't know that he's going to have games where he lights it up. But just not right now, the consistency is the struggle. But that's the good news for Auburn is that he's done it so far. You've done this so far, and he hasn't had any of those games. But you're going to need him to play much better against Houston on Sunday. Got to have Keyshawn Murphy. That's a physical, dogged team, and I think Auburn's defense is getting better, which is great news. The competition level ramps up 1,000% for them come this weekend.
Last night, I mean, Keyshawn Hall, I thought had his best all-around game. I mean, not only had 20 points, but he had 11 rebounds, and I think he led the team in assists.
Six assists. Yeah, I mean, only shot three free throws.
I mean,
they were early. He had four turnovers, but he had three block shots and two steals.
Mm-hmm.
So he impacts the game so much. He really does. And you know, seeing him this summer, I had no question in my mind that he was going to lead this team and score. People are like, oh, they had this guy and this guy. And I'm like, I'm just telling you, he gets to the basket, gets to the rim, and you know, last night he's 3-for-3 from three. And you look at that and go, man, he can shoot it well enough from the perimeter to make some shots.
And he doesn't force those.
Nope.
In three games, he's taken eight threes.
I thought he's good. I thought, again, Kevin Overton's a guy to me that I really like his game, too.
He may be the glue of this
team. To me, Overton and Sebastian Williams-Adams are the two guys that you go, okay, what do I need to do? What needs to get done?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the guys that go do it. And so I like watching them play. I thought Caden Magwood came off the bench and gave them some good time there as well. But, yeah, this will be a good test for them because when you start looking at, you know, what's down the road for this team – and you start going, okay.
It's I mean, Houston, it doesn't stop at Houston here. Does, I mean, you look and
– it does not stop
this
at Houston.
This is
because
some
you
kind
start
of
talking about, you know, Oregon. I watched some of Michigan last night. Michigan is absolutely massive. They are huge.
That's going to be a problem.
Axel Lindenberg is 6'9", 240 that left UAB. He's a good player. They got a UCLA transfer that's probably 7'3". A pretty athletic guy. They got another couple of guys that has some size there as well. Obviously, Arizona coming up late. You got Purdue coming down the road as well. I mean, like, you know, there's some serious challenges coming for this team. And Houston's a different type of team a little bit. But, again, I think, you know, for this Auburn team, it's time for them to go see a squad like this to go, okay, where are we? And I think you need to find out where you are.
334-321-1390. Bill, Don, Jason here with Drew at the controls. And Yellowhammer is up next. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. So I'm glad Don Dunn's there because this is kind of down his lane. I got three things. Thing one, and this is my belief, that the offensive line is a critical, fundamental building block, keystone part of any football team. And so with that in mind then, let's look at teams like Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, they consistently have one, a good offensive line, because they have recruited top five classes for the last 10 years or more. And that brings us to thing two, which is Auburn. We have been, unlike them, we're not reloading, we're rebuilding all the time, through Malzahn, through Harsin, and when Freeze took over, we may have had probably one of the poorest situations on the offensive line that we've had since the 1960s or more. And so, the thing I'm saying then is that if you have somewhat of a substandard offensive line, you're going to have a substandard offense. You're going to put all this pressure on your defense. You're going to have bad field position. You're going to three and out a lot. You're just going to be kind of crippling the entire situation. And so that brings me to thing three. Whoever our new coach is, he's got to keep building that. That will get us to where we can win 10 games or more and play for championships. But without that, we're just not going to happen.
Yeah, I agree with all three of your points exactly. The offensive line is critical. To me, you start with nowadays, you have to have a great quarterback. You have to have a great defensive line. And third, you have to have a offensive line that's consistent and keeps getting better. And you're right, they have recruited at a high level. And I think we have in the last 2 years. So we're behind the eight ball on recruiting O-linemen, like you said. But I agree with everything you said.
Well, I see progress. I'm just thinking, you know, a lot of people say, well, how come Freeze didn't do more better or whatever? It's 2 years, 2.5 years, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's just not enough to come from nowhere to having a real quality offensive line. You don't really have to have the best one, but you got to have one that's somewhere near as good as anybody on your schedule.
Well, it should have been better this year. I mean, the offense should have been better, and there's nowhere that you can look, you know, for a reason. There's no no place that that points to except at Hugh Freeze.
Yeah, this is the best offensive line group in terms of starting talent and numbers of guys. This is the best offensive line group
we've
that Auburn's had since 2017.
Yeah.
A little bit one-dimensional, though, as far as pass blocking protection.
But then play to your strength.
And that's my thing. I think had you done things like last week where you're going, look, we're going to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands. We're going to do some of that stuff. I think running the football, no question about it. I think everybody, I don't care who you are, if you're third and long for much of the games you play in, I don't care what your offensive line looks like, you're going to struggle. I don't care who they are. It doesn't matter. And I go back to looking at like Oklahoma, Texas A&M. Those were the two games that stand out, and then Kentucky was one that was, I don't know, that one to me was completely different because it didn't look like anything else that Auburn had done. But Oklahoma, Texas A&M, I went back and looked, and you go, Jeremiah Cobb had 6 carries against Oklahoma and 6 carries against Texas A&M. You go,
well, there certainly was a mismatch between our schemes and what we had.
Correct. I think if you're asking this team to just, we're going to line up and throw the ball every down against Oklahoma and Texas A&M, that's a losing proposition, and that's what happened.
Okay. Well, I hope our new coach is able to keep moving along and making that even better, and I'm sure he probably will.
All right, Yellowhammer.
Thanks.
We'll get to our final break of hour number one, final segment coming up with Jason, so stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Yeah, welcome back in. Well, it's getting dark,
and it's almost Thanksgiving.
We're starting talking about stuff. It's like, yeah, we're gonna be. Jason will be heading out here in a couple of minutes, and Don and I'll be sitting here. You hear our stomachs growling. We've got a couple of minutes left here in hour number one. Jason, just talk about what all's going on this week. I mean, with the open date, there's still plenty of news.
Yeah, got a lot going on. You're right. Obviously, coaching search still dominates everything. We've had updates. We're doing a different
little, like thumbnails,
a different one every
profiles.
Day. So we'll have next couple of days as well. We'll finish out this week. Had some baseball. I did Butch Thompson video today. I'll have a couple of baseball stories rest this week as they're doing their Orange and Blue World Series. Blue wins game one today. I went out. They just finished Lucas Steele with a 3-run home run. They're 5-inning games, so they're gonna they're gonna do 4 5-inning games.
Oh, okay, cool.
To get 8 starters, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, it is
to go instead of playing longer games, play to get guys in a starting role.
Right,
to
it's look a whole lot more, different. A whole lot different when is. You're warming up starting. It is coming out of the pit.
So I'll have some baseball as well. Obviously, basketball is to get ready for Houston this weekend. Be on the road Friday night. A little high school football. I'm gonna go watch my nephew Elmore County. They won at Demopolis last week.
Wow.
So it's the
okay.
I went back and looked, first playoff win for Elmore County since 2016.
Wow.
So it's been a while. So now they get to play Williamson, AC, Antonio Coleman's team, who has a bunch of dudes. They got a bunch of guys. Obviously, Auburn already has a kid committed in Jalen Scott, 27 mm-hmm. DB. Mm-hmm. They have a linebacker, Ellis McGaskin, who's committed to Notre Dame. They got a couple of young players. They have dominated pretty much everybody they played this year, and so that's going to be a challenge for Elmore County. But I'm going to go to
where
that
they play. They're
it's at home.
Oh, okay, good.
It's at home
because it's second round.
Yep, they went on the road and won in Demopolis, so they'll get Williamson at home in the second round, and so looking forward to seeing that one. Obviously, a bunch of really good games this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Opelika's at home. Auburn's on the road. Central. So it's that Mobile. East Alabama matchups that are going
on
this week.
Yeah, some long trips.
Yeah, Williamson has outscored their opponents 505-52.
Wow.
Oh.
This season. Yes, they allowed 14 points in an overtime game against Vigor. Other than that, they've given up 9, 5, 14, and 14.
And 0 in the rest.
And 0 in the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's AC's got them rolling pretty good. So
wow.
That'll be a good game to go see. So.
Well, that's great. Look forward to everything you guys got. Checking it out every day as we see more more on the coaching search and learning more about those guys.
Yeah. So let's see it. So we'll have a lot of that going on as well. All our shows, things on YouTube. You can go check us out there as well. So Got a 60% off right now, though, for new subscribers. So if you're, hey, I want to jump in and check you guys out, this is the perfect time to do it.
Oh, absolutely, because there is so much information. And, of course, following you as well.
Absolutely. Check us out on me on Twitter at ITATJason. So try to update folks as much as possible and not try to bore you.
All right, Jason, thanks a lot, man. It's great seeing you again.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right, we will step to our top of the hour break. Back with hour number two. Open the phone lines and love to hear from you.
Is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover joining us in the first hour of the show. Hope you had a chance to hear all of Jason's comments. If you missed anything, check out the podcast sponsored by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who also sponsor the text box, the Drive text box. And that number is 334-564-1840. We'd love for you. Is that right? Yeah, I think so. If I say it really quick, it usually comes out right. Haven't said that, but while Dan usually gives that number. Dan's got Troy women's basketball tonight. Mm-hmm. So Coach Don Dunn's here in the studio, and we've got another hour to go here on this Wednesday. I'd love for you to join in. You can call us on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number's 334-321-1390. Anything on your mind sports-wise? We can talk some coaching rumors and rumblings.
Yeah.
I mean, there are all kinds of crazy things that are out there. I mean, look, fans are, you know, when their school has an opening, they want the biggest name possible. They want it as soon as possible. And, I mean, it's interesting, sort of a little different when you look around at the schools here in the SEC that have openings. At Florida, it seems like the entire focus from media to the fan base and everything, it's all Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
And I had not realized till I was just checking, you know, to see what if there are any rumblings and things today. I nearly forgot Ole Miss and Florida play this weekend. In Oxford.
Yeah.
I mean, if that game were in Gainesville, I was thinking, I bet there'd be signs. You know, the fans would have signs up about,
they might,
you know,
kidnap
you know, come on, Lane. You know, don't go back. Don't, you know, tell the team to leave. Tell the team to just leave you back staying here in Gainesville.
Yeah.
You know, those kinds of things. And you're right. Last year, remember, that's when Billy Napier sort of saved his job as they knocked Ole Miss out of the playoffs last year.
Right. Big game. Especially for Ole Miss, a tough game with all the distractions. I don't care how much the coach says, we're focused, we're not going to talk about this, we're not going to worry about this. The players nowadays, Bill, with all the social media, everything is Lane's leaving, we want Lane, blah, blah, blah. And it affects your team and it affects your preparation. I don't think he'll leave for Florida. I could be dead wrong. You know, we were talking off the air. His son's a good quarterback there at Oxford High, who, by the way, is, I think, David Cutcliffe's son's the head coach there. But, you know, who knows? Either way, he's going to make a lot of money.
Oh, he will make more money than he ever dreamed of after this, regardless of where he is. But this is one of those cases, and, I mean – Yeah, you know, Jason was – I don't know if we were talking about it on the air, but Jason was saying, you know, one of the national writers was saying, you know, we may see a coach leave a playoff team. Now, if it were – I mean, boy, that'd be really hard. Be hard to imagine doing that to your players.
Two reasons.
And to the fan base.
Well, three reasons. First of all, you work your tail off to get in
a playoff. To try to get there. I mean, that's one of the points. I know Eli Drinkwitz came out today and said, you know, he hates this playoff or bust philosophy or mentality, because there's still plenty of things you can do to be proud of if you don't make the playoffs. But if you do make the playoffs, that's what you, you know, that
nowadays,
that's what your goals have been since you started working out at the end of last season, as soon as last season ended.
Yeah, no doubt. And, man, if you leave and you have a playoff team, I'm like you. I don't know if I'd want that guy. Or Jason said that. The fans, the players, and yourself. I mean, you work all your life to get to that, but, you know, maybe win a national championship. You never know. But to just leave, I just don't think it'll happen. I'd be shocked, man, but, who knows?
Well, I mean, Ole Miss has got an opportunity. They definitely have an opportunity. You know, they've got Florida this week, and then they've got an open date before they go to Starkville.
Yeah,
they went out there 10. They won those two games. They're 10-2.
Yeah,
and I think and they're in. They're going to be in the playoff. I mean, you look, they're in the top 10 right now in the rankings. So they're going to be in if they win those two ball games. And if they do, can Florida or anyone? How long can they wait? You know, I mean, and you know, we've had. I mean, they're obvious. I don't doubt that John Cohen will check with Lane Kiffin as well. I mean, Auburn, LSU, that was one of the first names you heard from LSU. You're not hearing that much Lane Kiffin from LSU right now. You're just hearing, you know, who's running the show and do they have any idea what they're doing down there as they try to fire Brian Kelly for the second time, saying they didn't fire him really the first time, didn't terminate him. Because the wrong person made the call.
What a mess.
So now they're going to terminate him and see if they can terminate him for cause.
What a mess.
It is. And then don't think that that isn't going to and is impacting right now the search for Brian Kelly's eventual replacement.
No doubt. When you have these other great jobs like Auburn and Florida, I mean,
yeah.
if you're good enough to go to LSU, you're sure good enough to go to Florida or Auburn. And like you said, why would you want to get into that political mess at LSU, which everybody's involved in, the governor.
It is so public.
It's just everything crazy. And they're, you know,
it's like
crazy fan.
Well,
base.
Look, I mean, I lived in Louisiana for a while, and I mean, it's like going to a different country.
Yeah, you know, they really love their football and their food and their it's a tough deal.
Oh, no question. But back to Lane. If Lane Kiffin were to leave Ole Miss before they started, you know, if they made the playoffs and Lane Kiffin were to say, okay, that's it, I'm out right then, I mean, the criticism that would come from everywhere, I mean,
I just don't
not
know
just how, Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think it would be a national
thing. Would.
I just don't.
But how long can you wait? I mean, what if Ole Miss were to, you know, make a run and get in there, and you've gone through the transfer portal and the early signing period, and then whichever decision he makes. All right, so you've got a school sitting there, say it's Florida, is sitting there with that opening, and they're waiting, and everybody's thinking, okay, let's see what happens, and expecting that they're going to get Lane Kiffin once they're out of the playoffs, and then Lane goes, no, I'm staying here in Oxford. Then what do you do? What do you do if you're Scott Strickland in Florida and it's the middle of January and the transfer portal is closed, your team's in the transfer portal, you didn't sign anybody in December? Okay, good luck.
Yeah, I don't know what you do. Maybe go down and jump in that pond they got on campus with the Gators.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's crazy, and this whole thing is just – I really miss coaching like we talk about. I miss the players, the staff, the game day, all the stuff, the recruiting. I do not miss this kind of stuff with the portal and coaches jumping even more than – they jumped some when I was there, but nothing like now, and just I think social media is even a lot stronger now.
Oh, no doubt
about
it.
People are more involved. It's crazy.
It really is. You know, there's not going to be news. There will be reports of different things. Apparently Brandon Marcello said earlier today on a show that his understanding is that Auburn's got their man. And it's John Sumrall.
Huh.
I mean, we will see. There's been an awful lot of talk of John Sumrall. I tell you what, just having followed these coaching changes for decades, I mean, maybe so, and maybe this is another one of the things that is different in college athletics now than it used to be. But boy, it used to be a lot of the time that first name that was really, really out there didn't wind up being the name. One.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no inside info as to what the situation is. Now, John Cohen has talked to quite a few folks this week. I guess we ought to, I think we've got his number. But he's been very amenable to talking to a lot of folks. Jason said he talked to him Monday night during the women's basketball game. Mm-hmm. Saw where Justin Hokanson spent some time with him, before the men's game last night. And, he's been pretty forthright, continuing saying what he had said to the media when we all had a chance to spend a little time there when it was announced that DJ Durkin was the interim head coach, in that, he'd like to have a coach named by early December. They are talking to candidates now. And that is something that is completely different. You mm-hmm. never used to hear anything like that. I'm sure you still have to get permission from the other schools to be able to do that, because that used to be one of the sticking points is trying to get around that and go through contacts and support people and people who knew people to get mm-hmm. to be able to start getting things set up for official interviews. But now it seems like, all schools are, quite frankly, they're talking to some of these folks because they can do it on Zoom, mm-hmm. talk 10 or 15 minutes. And as Jason was saying in hour number one, be able to sort of maybe narrow your list down a little bit before you get serious with this. But again, to have that that goal set to have a head coach in place early in December, that would be nice. The signing period starts December 3rd, which is a Wednesday. The season ends on November 29th.
Not much time.
Sunday is November 30th. Monday is December 1st. Wednesday is the first day of the signing period.
And then there'll be a dead period, right?
That's before. Right. That's right. So.
That's a tough deal.
It'll be interesting to see. And
but thankfully, like you and I have talked a little bit, signing date is important, but you can survive if you can get into the portal.
Right. Because especially if you have players worth retaining.
Right.
And that's one of the things that John Cohen said in his interview with Justin Hokanson that I was looking at earlier today. Hoke, of course, from On Three.
Mm-hmm.
And John Cohen said in there that roster retention is critical.
Yes.
And was talking about Auburn's finances and saying that, I think DJ Durkin said on the SEC teleconference, hey, it's just part of the way it's the way it is, knowing that other schools are contacting players at Auburn, trying to get them interested in coming, and playing for them.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really interesting that John Cohen said he'd had a couple of players that he had talked to, he thought prominent players on this team that know what's going on inside the team. And he said both those players told him nobody wants to leave Auburn. It's not about leaving Auburn. He said, now that doesn't mean that there might not be some overwhelming offers that Auburn might not be able to match, but he feels like Auburn is in position to be able to retain a good percentage, if not a majority, of the top players on this roster.
Yeah, no doubt. If I'm the new head coach, I'm not really worried about the high school, just what you said, but I'm worried about keeping these good players or great players we have. To me, that is the key, like you just said, like John said. You can survive a year without the high school. You're going to get some good high school players and some that are already committed and will stick with you. But that keeping these guys we got now and then adding on to it, like you said earlier, filling in the spots, we can be in Indiana next year.
Well, I think John Cohen said that he felt that the talent was there.
I agree.
For Auburn to be able to be a double-digit winning team.
Yes, should be.
You know, for the next couple of years.
No doubt. Well, you saw that Saturday. Those two guys.
Yeah,
those catches. I watched it all on ESPN last night. And amazing. And if that kid wasn't amazing, that was a great catch the Indiana guy made. But that one Coleman made where it looked like it went through that guy.
He made three in that ball
in a row.
Game. Two in a row.
Yeah,
one with one hand, one with the other hand. But the one he made on the sideline, where if he weren't wearing blue shoes, they never would have been able to tell
it
because you saw the white shoes.
That's what
out
the guy
bound.
Said. He said that's why you wear different colored shoes.
Yeah, and it came true. I mean, so it'll be really interesting.
We got to keep. I mean, yeah. If I got the job, that's the first thing I'd do is got to keep our guys.
Oh yeah,
whatever it takes.
And that's and that sure seems.
And then
to be
next year you can
right
rebuild
there.
On the high school level.
Yeah. All right, we need to get to our first break of hour number two. Heard some talk earlier today. It was a very interesting talk that Jacob and Christian were having, and we talked to Jason about that a little bit in hour number one, and that is the situation that Auburn has right now. And I agree with Jason. That I think it's Ashton Daniels' decision as to whether he plays or not, and I think his teammates understand. It's not – I don't think – that Don, this doesn't seem to me like, I'm stopping playing because I'm getting ready for the NFL draft or – you know,
I don't want to be in a bowl game.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah.
That's not what this is.
This is a future decision.
If he wants to play college football again next year, he can only play in one more game.
Right.
So, I mean, I agree that it's Ashton. I think it's Ashton's decision. I don't think you can tell him, no, we're gonna burn your year of eligibility. Well, this had sort of been the plan all year long.
Yeah, I agree
with
you.
To redshirt him. But they brought up a couple of interesting questions. I'd love to hear folks' thoughts too.
Yeah.
Who would you start? I mean,
yeah.
I think it would have to be, you know, if Ashton decides not to play, I think Jackson's the guy. But you have Deuce ready and I think you should play him.
Yes.
Because he's got he has, you know, he can play in the next couple of ball games and he still has that redshirt year.
Now does the bowl game count?
Bowl games do not count.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah,
so
you're fine.
I think it's up to the Ashton's himself, his family, and that's a tough spot for everybody. But I understand it's not like he's quitting on the team.
No.
He's not being selfish. And in fact, he's trying to help the program if he wants to stay.
That's right. He's trying to help it long term.
And we should be able to handle, you know, the next team. Who knows? They're good.
Should. I tell you what,
you're probably going to have to score some against
Mercer. They're 8-1. Yes, they're a smaller school, but they'll come in fired up and ready to play. Buckets.
But, you know, I'm like you. I think it's up to the young man.
All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number two. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. Bill and Don here in hour number two of the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. And hey, I want to talk to you about Game Day Men's Health, which is now here in Auburn off of Moores Mill Road. If you're feeling just tired, maybe run down, don't have the energy you used to have, or you need to lose a few pounds maybe, get something to sort of kickstart you, get you going and continue, man, the Game Day Men's Health is there with answers for energy, drive, low T. They've got it, and they're great folks. Went in and spent some time with Aaron and had a consultation, went through complete medical history. They do blood tests for you, and then they will they'll work with you to get you headed back in the direction that you'd like to be. I mean, check them out. I mean, great folks. Game Day Men's Health. They're off Moores Mill Road right here in town. Don and Bill here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Let's get to the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Pat is up first. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Bill, Don. Coach, I had two different topics. I want to quickly hit one. Okay, so they're saying that players that went to the G League that have eligibility can still come back, right?
Well, they've ruled that on. I don't know if they've said that all of them can, but it's happened, so I don't see why not.
So then going pro, quote pro, does not matter because we're technically paying the players with this $20.5 million, right? So they are the amateur part is gone. Would you agree with that?
I sure would.
Yes.
Okay. So if the amateur part is gone, then how can they have a right to tell somebody that they can only be here for 4 years? I'm thinking it seems to me that is going to win if it turns out that our quarterback loses that eligibility for next year. I bet he would win if he fought that. I bet he would win.
The reason I would think, Pat, is because coaches and ADs would like to have an idea of what to expect to be able to try to plan. I know you can't plan too far ahead in the future, but that's something that right now all schools that are members of the NCAA abide by. Now, I don't know how many times we've said this. Why don't they just go ahead and, let somebody slam them upside the head and make them go ahead and say, everybody gets 5 years and don't worry about these, how many games they play in that period. But the reasoning is because all the schools have agreed to that right now, and I think they like there being some type of parameter where it is not – where you don't necessarily have, 30-year-old guys playing against 18-year-olds.
Well, I get it. I guess I'm just saying from a – it sounds like somebody just made that rule up, technically, is what it sounds – it doesn't seem like
– Well, it all came because you have four classifications in college. You're a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. And they decided to add that arbitrary redshirt, whatever,
yeah,
in.
Yeah.
And it was thought of back when it was originally done almost 100 years ago that, in 4 years everybody would be done with school. Now, most aren't done with school in 4 years, but it's to try to at least keep something along the same pace that you have for student, sure, regular students.
Well, I agree. I understand. I agree that that's how it came about. I don't necessarily know that would stand up in a court of law. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
If he was to fight it, I think he would win. What I want to talk about is the game last night. So I want to ask y'all. I'm trying to wrap my brain with my brother. Okay. So when you talk about Keyshawn Hall, and I also will add in Elijah Freeman. It just seems like when they get the ball, you see players, and we've had a lot of great players at Auburn. But how many times do we have a player where when they got the ball, it's like they wanted the ball? It's kind of like Charles Barkley. He always wanted the ball, but he always wanted to score. But it seems like they are just flat out dogs when it comes to playing. Like they just love to play. And like they get the ball, they play defense. They want to block it. They can't wait to get the ball. And then they're going coast to coast. It's like he doesn't want to come out of the game. I mean, I'm trying to think of a player that we had that just was almost like I bet if they had a chance, they'd probably play the game after that. Those two guys.
No, I know what you mean. They love to play. They're gym rat kind of guys. But yeah, I mean, it's rare it's not as rare these days. I mean, Auburn's got a lot more talented players. But yeah, I mean, it used to be rare to find somebody who could handle the ball well enough to be able to do that and be able to make plays on their own to create. You'd have some guys that were good, be able to be spot shooters or something like that, or they could elevate and you get the ball to them near the basket. But those guys can do it all. They can beat you from the perimeter. They can then beat you on the dribble, taking it to the basket, and then they're really good at being able to gauge. When there's a missed shot going up. I mean, I was shocked that Keyshawn Hall had 11 rebounds last night. That's tremendous.
every minute, I mean, you just look at his box. He's a box stuffer. It's like every minute, it's like his what he does in his minute is like there's no resting. It's like he just constantly just goes. And I'm like, sit him down because he's going to burn himself out. You know, I feel like he's a strong player. He's really built really well. I feel like injuries, knock on wood, I feel like he's not, a major chance to get an injury, but he's so
every he's physical, though.
Second,
you're right. He's very
physical.
Every second
he's just moving. I almost feel like we need to cut him back a little bit on the slower game so he can make it through the
season.
He
only played 27 minutes last night. That wasn't ridiculous.
Okay. Okay. Well, I was just, in my mind, it seemed like he was out there all the time. I was like, man, I love it. And he's the kind of guy, those are the kind of guys that help you win. And I think that's part of what Todd's problem is. I felt like this was a team that reminds me a lot of Indiana and OKC, in that they've got tall, lanky guys that can dribble the ball, that can shoot the three, and they like to drive and then pass. If they get a layup, they get a layup. If they don't, they pass out. That guy gets the ball, fakes the three or shoots it, drives, and they just keep doing that drive until somebody gets the open shot or a layup. And I felt that's what we were going to do, and I think both these two guys, Freeman and Hall, have gotten so good at finishing and getting the basket or getting the foul that they've kind of, it's almost kind of turned into like NBA where we just got two guys that just give them the ball and they just go get a basket. And I feel like Tahad is almost kind of feeling like he's got to do that. And I feel like he's forcing his shot. And I think what we noticed a lot of the guards were doing last night is they were pulling up for that like 10 or 12 foot jumper. And that is, instead of going to the basket and getting packed, that's what I think. I feel like Magwood did that, and I feel like
Overton did that.
Yeah, exactly. And so, but I think Tahad needs to do that. I'm gonna have to talk to him and just get him to. I feel like he's such a guy that feels like he's got to be the guy that watching these other guys just go at it. It's almost like it's probably just killing him, and so he's trying to be the same.
He's probably pressing a little bit. I mean, right now he's shooting 17% from three, and I mean he's so much better than that.
Well, and because he's trying to take a step back, he's trying to create his own shot.
Right.
When Hall got him an easy shot and made a great pass, he had it straight up at the line, and he just drained it. I feel like that's what this team will eventually get there. I feel like we're letting Freeman loose and just let him get used to the level of play we're playing. He's getting more confident every game, but I feel like at some point, and you saw it with Hall getting the six assists, but I feel like it's going to come around. But I think that Jason made a perfect comment. Like, this is what we're doing with Tahad, basically not playing good at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine if those 10 or 12 misses, whatever, were actually shots that were made, we'd have scored 10 more points at least. So I feel like when it all comes together, this team's got an unlimited amount of potential. I just love it because I can't remember the last time we had two guys that just wanted the ball so bad, but they still will share it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're right. It's not like the ball. It's like the ball hadn't gone into a black hole and would never come back out. So
yeah,
and the other thing
is,
yeah, I mean the fact that Auburn's averaging just under 95 points a game and shooting 28% from three as a team.
That's crazy. That's not going to stay like that. I'm telling you. They're going to start getting better shots. But I feel so much better. And you're right about that. Y'all right about when Keyshawn Murphy gets back. Oh my God, because he's kind of like a dog too in my mind. He likes when he gets that ball. He just goes and gets it. I mean, Broom was like that, but he was more calmer. It seemed like he would rest. Broom would rest. He used his time effectively because he knew he would get tired. But it just almost seems like the Energizer Bunny Rabbit is the only thing I could think of with these two guys, man. I just love it. I feel like Steven, and Steven is so smart, but by the fact that he was the guy that did the scouting, it's like now that he's the head coach, it's almost like he doesn't have to ask people about it. He already has it all. He's already done it all. I feel like he scouts himself. So like he knows this player's going to do this, so do this. It's almost like he's got a built-in advantage by being the guy that came the way he did, And so I feel like this guy's limit on this team. Anyway, thanks, guys. War Eagle.
Appreciate the call, Pat. Yep. I mean, it'll be great. And I think Keyshawn Murphy could have played last night, but they didn't really need him.
Yeah.
And they will need him against Houston. No question about that.
Yeah, big game.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Wednesday Drive.
with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday evening. I'm not going to say afternoon anymore. It's dark. It is dark outside here at 5:36.
Yeah. Dark.
Yep. Let's get to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Gary, I think, is up. Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Just a comment and a question. As far as the coaching search, you know, I love Coach Durkin and wouldn't mind him being a head coach, but I'm kind of leaning more toward a, you know, Summerall, and I think.
Tell me, I love, you know, getting comments from fans. Tell me what you know, what you like about John, and you know, have you followed him for a while?
Well, somewhat. I remember when he was at Troy, mm-hmm. and I've never heard of him till he coached at Troy. And I remember, but I got to kind of, you know him, at least, you know, from the radio, that type of thing, when he's at Troy and success he had there in the Sun Belt. And so then, of course, now he's gone to Tulane, which is, I guess, somewhat, I don't know if it's a step up from Troy, maybe.
Oh, it is. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, and that's not a knock against Troy or anything. It's just, sure. It's just an opportunity there, a little larger. And he's right. Definitely making moves up the ladder. I mean, he's gone. He's been an assistant at Kentucky and Ole Miss, you know, along with Troy before and Tulane.
Right.
So he's been familiar with Tulane. That's one of the reasons I think he left Troy for that opportunity there. But I mean, yeah, when he got to Troy, they'd been struggling under Chip Lindsey. I think they'd had two or three straight losing seasons, and he immediately won 10
right.
games both his years there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he pretty much did a big rebuild job at Troy to get them back on track, and then he's carried that on to Tulane. What are they, like, 7-2 now?
Yeah, they
like
are,
that?
And one of the things I heard him talking recently, and he was saying, you know, he thought it was different. First of all, when he got to Troy, he obviously had to get things turned around, and when he took the Tulane job, Willie Fritz had done a really good job there at Tulane, and he thought, man, I'm going into a situation that's a whole lot better.
Right.
Then he got there, and a lot of the players were gone, and a lot of them had gone into the transfer portal, and then he lost, you know, he lost a quarterback to Duke and a running back to maybe it was Oregon, and so he had to go out in the transfer portal and bring in a bunch of new guys as well, and is still, 7-2 this year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, put the cart before the horse. We may, you know, get a surprise hire. Who knows? But if he's a guy, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm just a, you know, your average fan. But if he's the man that we announce as coach, you know, day after the Iron Bowl or that following week after the Iron Bowl, then man, I'm excited. And but you know, we'll wait and see. But I'm excited about, you know, the chance of getting him. But one question I'll hang up listening. Our linebackers this year, Xavier and then Robert Woodyard, two of those guys, especially Xavier. I mean, those guys, I mean, they've been playing all SEC, All-American type, you know, type games this year as far as, you know, statistics. And
oh, I love
them. They play lights out.
And, I love the freshman linebackers. I mean, Juice Diaz and Elijah Melendez. I mean.
And Diaz. Was it Diaz?
Yeah, it's Diaz. Is how it's pronounced.
Diaz. I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, these guys. Oh my God. I mean, they are football players. They are the epitome of Auburn football. I mean, they're hard hitters. They're all over the field. They're fast, and man, they get after it. And it's fun to watch. But my question is, I hadn't heard DeMarcus Riddick. Is he still playing? Or I just hadn't heard of him much. I was just curious about him, but I'll hang up a listen. Thanks.
Hey, appreciate the call, Kerry. Yeah, it's been a rough year for DeMarcus. He had a shoulder problem last year, and he opted not to have surgery and just try to play through it. So that's limited him some this year because he's another explosive linebacker. I mean, that linebacker room,
yeah.
He's absolutely right, Don. I mean, that's something, hey, when you're a defensive line coach, you love having guys like that back there behind you.
Oh, yeah,
you.
No doubt. Get you lined up for number one, and if you're out of your gap, they're going to cover for you. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think DeMarcus, because of the shoulder, he hasn't been able to just be – you know, full speed, and you've seen him just more in like pass situations, things like that, because he's another one of those guys that's just amazing. He's got amazing speed for that linebacker position. Appreciate the call, Kerry. 334-321-1390. That is the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And, yeah, I mean, we'd love to hear, you know, who is your favorite to be Auburn's next head coach? I thought it was interesting. A couple of more things from Justin Hokanson's interview with John Cohen. Hoke asked him about DJ Durkin and his candidacy. And one of the things I'll read you this these quotes from John Cohen about DJ. I think are really interesting. He said, "My biggest concern about DJ is this, and I don't mind saying this, is I don't want to lose, in my opinion, the best defensive coordinator in the country. You know, that's a concern for me. I feel like I have the best defensive coordinator in the country, and I don't want to lose him. And for good or bad, if that person becomes a head coach, you're losing the coordinator." That's true, he continued saying. So that's one of the things that DJ and I will talk about, and he'll be prepared because he's prepared for everything to describe to me or tell me how I'm not losing the best defensive coordinator in the country, I'd be gaining a head coach who's ready for this type of opportunity.
Yeah.
So he knows DJ is ready to that, but he, that's one of the questions he wants to ask. All right, so, what do I do here?
Yeah, how am I going to maintain?
How's the defense going to be,
stay as good as we are on defense.
Right.
Yeah. And he'll have an answer. He's probably got a guy that he knows has brought up through the ranks, maybe a young coach
sure
somewhere
he does.
That he would say, "Hey, this guy's like me, maybe better than me, and here's what I want."
I've had a couple of people say, "Well, you know, there is somebody that he's really really close with that might want to get back into it," and that's Will Muschamp, whose son is finishing up, I believe, now
at Vandy.
Yeah, it's finished, and Will Muschamp thinks the world of DJ Durkin.
Wow.
You know, DJ was his defensive coordinator at Florida.
I've completely forgot that connection. You are exactly right.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly right.
They are
right. Very,
very close.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's just something to think about. It's really cool when the connections and some of the things you follow.
I did not know. If I knew it, I forgot, Bill. Golly.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Ooh, that is interesting.
Because somebody asked Will, I think, you know, when before the Auburn Vandy game. About that. So the other thing that I thought was really really interesting that John Cohen said, he was talking about some of the things just that are like preliminary questions that he likes to go over with potential coaches. And he said one is he wants to know, he said, if a candidate is a real head coach candidate, he's going to know he has a plan for his players every hour of every day of the week. He wants to know,
true,
are you a morning, are you an afternoon practice guy?
True.
What is your practice plan?
True.
He wants to know that. I mean,
No doubt. He'll want all that. He'll want to know the staff that he's wanting to bring, and you can't just go in there and say, "Hey, I'm going to bring in the best staff." You better have those guys in line.
Absolutely, he's going to have
all his ducks.
You may not be able to get every single one of them,
right?
But he's going to be. These are the guys.
Here's my top D coordinator. Here's my top running back. And you know, some of these guys he may keep because you know
that's true.
I mean,
well,
my goodness. Last Saturday, I think they all had a great first road test or whatever you want to call it, as being able to coach and
they worked pretty well.
Yeah, and I didn't see any you know like disagreements or I didn't see a lot of confusion on the sideline and getting stuff in and out, which is always a sign when you have a change. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, I don't have a clue who they're going to hire, and there's a lot of good jobs open. But I
think there are a lot of. I think it's a very interesting pool of candidates. I mean, and they're like quite varied. But I mean, I think it does appear once again, as we mentioned earlier. I mean, Jason talked to John Cohen on Monday night, mm-hmm. and he told him that that they would be talking to by the end of this week, and probably have, you know, talk to most of them, 7 or 8 seated head coaches.
Wow.
I think you're, again, it sure feels like a long shot that Auburn's going to be in the market for somebody who is not coaching right now.
Yeah, I would be shocked if they bring somebody that hasn't coached in a year or has been out for, you know, a couple of months.
Yeah.
I think he knows – I think he's got his top three. I really do. And he'll shoot, you know, for the top guy. Then he'll have a second guy and then a third guy. And they're all going to be good candidates. Who that is, I have no idea. And I think Coach Durkin has a legitimate shot.
Oh, I absolutely do.
And especially if he wins these next two games. And the thing that I hear that's always a good sign – is the players love the guy.
Oh, yes.
And both sides of the ball. A lot of times the offensive guys, mm-hmm. they don't know you on defense.
Yeah, a lot of times just the guys that have been on your side as a coordinator.
And I'm sure some of those guys will go to the AD and say, hey, we want this guy. Now, they have to take that with a grain of salt, too. He's a smart man. You can't let emotions make your decisions.
That's right. You can't just get caught up
we beat Alabama, you know.
And that would be great and surely wouldn't hurt, but I don't think you make that decision
I think you gotta,
just based on
and,
that.
And he won't. He's too good. It's too big a lot of pressure on him.
You're absolutely right.
Hey, you make another
– You make
mistake, and I hate to say that about any coach.
I mean, you look at ADs. I mean
– Yeah, look at the guy at LSU.
Look at Steve Woodward. Yeah.
Wow. Yes. He went in just a matter of time because somebody got involved and made somebody mad. And mm-hmm. what a mess. I mean, that's crazy.
All right, we'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join us if you'd like, 334-321-1390, as we wind things down here on the Wednesday Drive.
At Affordable Comfort Cooling Systems
and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final few minutes of the Wednesday edition of the drive. Dan should be back tomorrow. Troy, a woman playing tonight, so he has those duties, and appreciate Don coming in. So what's on tap here? You got anything really going on?
No, it's kind of a slow time. We're getting ready, you know, at Country's for the big turkey, smoked turkey and hams.
I remembered. I've gone ahead and I've got my order in for that smoked turkey.
That smoked turkey's the best. Anyway, no, we're going to stay around here during the holidays and both holidays, and just looking forward to it, and sure glad it warmed back up.
No,
Looking for another good weekend of college football and basketball.
You're back with us on Friday, though, right?
Oh, yes, for sure.
So it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday this week.
That's right.
Because I wasn't sure if I was going to be here Monday. Now.
Yeah.
Now I've got an interesting situation coming up. The procedure that I was going to have, the reason I was going to be out Monday, had to be rescheduled. Wasn't anything I could do about it. But they have rescheduled it for December 5th. That's the earliest they could do it. So here's the first thought I had, and this tells you, I mean, my wife's like, you can't be worried about that. And it's like, well, mm-hmm. I can be, because that might be almost exactly the time that John Cohen's ready to announce who the next
head
coach is.
That's a Friday, right?
That is a Friday. That is a pretty good time to do it. It would be at the end of the signing period. It's the end of that first week after the Iron Bowl.
And,
so,
and you'll know who's in the playoffs.
Yes, you will. I mean, pretty much. You'll have conference championship games
that weekend. I'm sorry. That's
so
right.
So you won't know. You'll have an
it'll
idea.
It'll be the 8th before.
Yes,
or the 7th.
But that is in that time frame. So I'm like thinking, oh please, don't do that on that Friday. But that would be a perfect time to do it. You know, because then you're in the headlines on Saturday, the day of. If you name your coach on that Friday, you're in the headlines on the Saturday of the championship
right.
games.
Right.
So I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. But yeah, I thought about that. It's like, don't need to do that. That's why I've still got a request out there to see if they can't
change
move
it.
Me up a little bit. Yeah.
At least a day.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, it could happen anytime that week.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be, you know, I mean, you know, maybe you come back in on December 1st.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the optimal time would be try to do it on Monday, December 1st.
And that's the first.
And that would be 2 days before signing day. And
it's a dead
period. Give that coach that week.
Get on the phone.
To get with his players, too,
yes.
before they're gone. Because winter finals, Drew?
The week after Thanksgiving. No, not the week after Thanksgiving, but the week after
All right, so they're still – so you're still in school.
Finals would be like the week of the 8th.
Yeah, so see, that means that'd be the last week of class. So players would still be around. It would give you an opportunity. If you have a coach in place, that would be the perfect situation scenario.
Yeah. Yeah.
Name that coach, have them be able to get with the team and get with possible recruits and you know, do that week.
Especially your team, like we talked about.
Help me out with my scheduling.
Yeah.
Which, yes, is not exactly high on the priority list.
You never know.
All right. Hey, fun show today. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell for joining us here in hour number one. If you missed any of Jason or any of the show, check out the podcast of The Drive, sponsored by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Don, thanks a lot, man. We will see you in a couple of days.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, that will do it for the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Dan's back tomorrow. We should have Justin Ferguson with us. And then David Pascal joins us from Chattanooga in hour number two. Hope you'll join us as well. That's going to do it for today. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.